Hello and welcome to another episode of The Thing About Cars. I'm very happy to be speaking with our guest today, Loxley Brown. Loxley is the founder of Athena Racing. How are you, Loxley?
I am great. It's a sunny day in Southern California, so let's get this started.
Right. Founder and CEO, I should say. But yeah, good. I'm glad you could join us. And also, my co-conspirators are Misty. You there, Misty?
Hi.
Yes, Misty's there. And Ben. How you doing, Ben?
Hey, I'm all right.
Excellent. So it's just the four of us today. I think it'll be an excellent program. Let's do a moment of Grand Trivia Auto. What do you think?
Yeah.
Always up for it.
Always up for it. You know, I have only one Grand Trivia Auto question left in my files. We need more of this stuff. So if a listener has trivia that they want to try to stump our crew with, please send it to us. Visit us on Facebook, facebook.com/thethingaboutcars. Should find us and send us your trivia items. The question, as we have it, is, in 2019, more vehicles were built in China than blank. And is the answer Germany, Japan, or the United States, or all of the above? So that's our trivia question for the day. In 2019, more vehicles were built in China than blank. United States, Japan, Germany, or all of the above? And we'll answer that at the end of the program, but let's take a minute to talk to Loxley. Loxley, I'm very pleased to see you with us today. How did you do the Athena Racing thing? How did all that start for you?
I came up with this idea in June of 2019, and it basically has brought together everything that I've done in my career, along with my passions. And I have been able to create a nonprofit specifically for girls who are interested in the transportation world. So we're talking about racing, automotive, anything transportation, submarines, airplanes. Like, I want to take them into a deep dive behind the scenes and show them all of the job opportunities that are available. You know, when I graduated high school, I'm not going to say how long ago that was, but my school counselor looked at me and said, "Oh, well, you should either be a nurse, a teacher, or a secretary." And I was like, "What? Do you understand what I'm capable of doing?"
So. Clearly, this counselor did not understand.
No.
Apparently, this counselor time warped in from the 50s. Jeez.
Right.
That's so cool to hear, though, because I mean, I'm a gearhead, and you know, like I drive. We talked about this last time I was on the podcast. I drive a little Miata, and I've been known to tell girls, "I'm like, look. Every girl deserves a sports car and deserves to go fast." So,
absolutely. I've had two Miatas. I love those cars because they are the closest thing to a go-kart that's legal to drive on the street. And they're much more reliable than an MG, which is what I originally wanted as a teenager. So, yeah.
Actually, I think, because I remember seeing MG, you know, the little MG spiders around, you know, back when I was a teenager. And I was like, that's what I want. Or was it in the Toyota TR2?
The MR. Mr. 2,
MR2, yep.
And I always wanted a Roadster, and then I got really super lucky, you know, like 4 years ago, and I got the 2016.
The girls nominated me for the Mazda Hero this year to win a Mazda Miata, and I did not make it. Shame on Mazda. But I would love to have another. And eventually, when we're back in person again, and we are training, we will end up probably having a Miata.
Okay.
Unless we get another car sponsor behind
us. MX-5 now, I think is what they're calling it, right?
That's the European name for it. So I'm going to issue you a personal invite, Loxley, the next time you're over Europe way. Mm-hmm. You and I will take Claudette to Germany.
Oh, God. Yes.
Multiple reasons. First of all, you know, we can do 175 kilometers an hour on the Autobahn on our way to pick up a McRib and a fried apple pie.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's funny. Tanner Faust posted this question on his Instagram this morning of where would you want to drive, you know, this VW that he's testing. And my first answer was Nürburgring.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So it's me, you, and Claudette. We're going to go to the Nürburgring, pick up some McRibs and mashed potatoes and gravy at the KFC on the way. Take Claudette for a spin.
You're in Germany. What the heck?
Okay. I mean, I can stop by the grocery store because they have like these toaster schnitzels. You know, we can get those too. And they even have one called Southern Fried Chicken flavor. And I got a bottle of hot sauce in the fridge here behind me. So we good.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, we can stop and pick up some schnitzel too. I mean, that's not a problem.
But I'm thinking, you know, stop off, get some street food, get a Döner and some, and a Berliner. A Berliner? Is that what it is? A jelly donut?
Yeah. Actually, they have one at the grocery store. It's like, I mean, literally, it's like the size of my face.
Yeah.
And it's got, but it's like a pastry with like vanilla custard. And then they put like half of a canned peach in there. So it looks like a big fried egg. It's like pretty tasty.
Okay. You know.
I think I would probably starve. So, you guys are talking of all of the food I never eat.
Well, they have currywurst too, which is
currywurst,
like
the
sausage with the curry ketchup. I got a bottle of curry ketchup.
You're a vegetarian, Loxley?
No, I'm celiac, so I don't eat anything that has wheat in it. So, and that cuts out a lot of alcoholic beverages too.
Yeah,
so.
It does. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So, well, beer is not your friend in that case.
No, but take me to Italy and we drink some wine.
There you go.
That would work. Yeah.
It's 15 hours from my house to Venice.
Or France. I actually have friends in Bordeaux.
There you go.
Oh my God. 5 hours from my house to Paris.
We're going to have to do the thing about food and wine here in a minute. But to get us back on track, Loxley, how did you get into the thing? I mean, have you always been into cars?
I fell in love with cars when I was 9, which is really strange because I was not raised in a family that loved cars. I have always been a designer. I can design anything. I designed my first bedroom when I was 6 years old. And so, you know, I was sitting there looking through a magazine. I saw my first picture of a Porsche 911. And I stopped and I couldn't move for a while. It was like the ultimate, most beautifully designed car to me. Always has been. So I've always just looked at everything from a design aspect. And, you know, going back to the counselor in high school, had I known that I could become a car designer, that's what I would be doing. But I didn't know that was an opportunity available for women, you know, especially back in the late 80s. So fast forward now, I want all of these young girls to realize that they can do anything and to pursue their passions, whatever it is that they want to do. You know, I love my job. I have carved out a niche for myself where I do everything that I love. And I work crazy hours and have a lot of friends who say, oh, you need balance in your life. And I'm like, I do have balance in my life. I'm doing what I love. You know, for me, it's not a job anymore because it's just something that, you know, is dear to my heart that I'm bringing to life. You know, my ultimate goal is for this to be a household name, for Athena Racing to be something that young girls do just like they do Girl Scouts. So
that'd be cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's awesome. So let's just make it official here. You are a nonprofit. What is your mission?
To expose young girls in middle school and high school to the different STEM career opportunities in the transportation sectors.
Yeah. This is really cool. How many people do you serve? What kind of outreach do you have? Are you looking at a local or a national footprint? Tell us some more about those things.
So let me take us back to March of 2020. Mm-hmm. We had just officially started the program with girls at the beginning of the school year in 2019. With announcements about it, getting them excited about it, you know, then getting girls onto a team. We had only been meeting in person for 3 months when COVID shut us down.
Oh, man.
So, yeah. So I had to completely, and this is the great thing about me coming from the for-profit startup world, which I have worked in for the past, and I call Athena Racing a startup, for the past 15 years. So I instantly realized what was about to happen. I'm pretty good at predicting certain things and instantly pivoted. So while everybody else was sitting there going, oh, everything's going to get back to normal in a month or two and blah, 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 I immediately took our plans for what's happening 3 years from now and put it into place in March of 2020. So I had planned on us, you know, starting small in the Southern California region and, you know, gradually expanding into 20 different cities, going national. You know, I did all of that last April. So we now have a really great base of students in Southern California, but we have expanded across the United States. So we have girls who are in Connecticut, Michigan, Mississippi. We have one in Georgia. We need more girls from Georgia.
Yeah.
You know, a couple from Texas, some from the Pacific Northwest. So, but last year during our Fab Camp, we had girls from around the world. So we had girls joining us from India, from Nepal, from Mexico, a couple from Europe. So it's just a matter of getting the word out there and getting girls involved, because we are providing this free to girls, girls only, who are in middle school and high school. We find it
for free.
For free. For free. Thanks to the support of our volunteers and our sponsors, we can do that. So,
Just to wrap up the segment, because I know there's plenty of stuff we could talk about for probably an entire day. What are some of the kinds of things you get your girls to do? What kind of doors have you been able to open for them? Can you maybe share a couple of examples?
So we train our girls in 15 different education tracks. And these are the essential life skills that you need just moving forward out of high school into college and then into your career. So we're basically creating Renaissance women. And we have, you know, the different tracks are driving, marketing, entrepreneurship, public speaking, etiquette, you know, just this variety of that solid base that you need. Right now, while everything is virtual, and it will remain that way until the end of 2023, we're providing the free camps and the free workshops that are online, and everything can be found on our website at athenaracing.org. We have four workshops this spring. We have three camps this summer, which are going to be fantastic. Last summer, summer camp was always my thing when I was a teenager. I loved going to summer camp. So I created the Fab Camp last summer, and it was just out of the world spectacular. I had one of our students join me, and she fabricated from scratch with no plans. This was us just getting together and putting this together, a drifting trike.
Wow.
And she had no experience in the shop. She was a great brainiac with robotics and had done a lot of robotics work through FIRST, but had never gone into a shop, into an automobile shop with a fabricator and created anything. She is my poster child for this club now. She is incredible. She's a senior, so she has applied to 10 different colleges and has been accepted to every single one of them. And
amazing. Her
college essays are all about Athena Racing and what she's learned and what she's done with Athena Racing. So it's one of those, you know, I'm trying to help the girls realize that you've really got to build out your high school resume. You know, it's important to be great with your subjects that you're taking in high school, but you've got to have that experience and the hands-on training outside of that, because that's what's going to get the attention of future employers, the college admissions team. They're going to look at what you've done outside of that. And we're providing this platform where the girls create all of the content that goes up on our website. Our organization, our website is 50% student led and 50% Loxley Brown never sleeps and works on this all the time. So what you're looking at is a combination of us.
I think that's awesome. And just for fun, do they get to go to any races? Do they get to hobnob with any of the industry professionals and stuff like that?
So we have had Shane and Alana out to Chuckwalla, which is our driving sponsor. It's a great racetrack out past Palm Desert. They were out there for that, and they didn't get to actually drive. Shane has trained in karting, but she hasn't driven in a race car yet. So that is coming up. We're actually going to create a TV show of her going through the training that it takes to, one, learn how to drive a stick, because manufacturers don't really make that many cars with manual transmission anymore.
That's right.
And the kids are not learning how to drive them. And I think it is vital to know how to do that. I mean, I was driving at the age of 5. So, like, come on. drive a stick, man.
Misty looks like she's having a visceral reaction to this statement.
Manual transmissions for the win, man. I mean, I learned to drive in a four-wheel drive Subaru station wagon 5-speed in a cow pasture.
Yeah. That's
well, I learned how to drive.
That's where I learned to be behind the wheel. Because when my mom started me out, the first lesson I had was I had to shift and she would put her hands over my eyes. So I had to learn to hear.
Yes.
Thank God the transmission on that Subaru was just cast iron because there was a lot of ringing. So that's where I started out.
And yeah.
I mean, I've never driven anything but a manual and except when I'm driving my husband's car and I hate that.
Well, you'll love this. I learned to shift on a mid-70s Alpha Spider and a 3-on-the-tree Plymouth.
Nice. Oh, wow. A 3-on-the-tree.
Yeah.
So she's going to have to learn how to shift. Loxley, she's going to have to do it all on tape. Is that what's going to happen?
Yes, that is going to happen. It's going to be fantastic. You guys are going to love this show.
I can't wait to see it. Thank you, by the way. If there's any parting thing about Athena Racing you want our listeners to check out or to know about the work that you do, what would you tell them?
Please take a look at our website, athenaracing.org. Support us if you can. We have increased our programming for the girls 500% this year because there's such a need for it and they are so wanting of the community that without having the funding behind it, we decided to go ahead and put these programs out there. So, you know, just getting the support, the financial support is what we really need right now to make this really grow and reach more.
Yeah, I think you're doing fantastic work and I wish you a ton of success and let's definitely circle back at some point and talk about doing the nonprofit Snapcast podcast that I do, because I think you've got good lessons for the nonprofit community as well. All right. Question number one, Loxley, what is your dream car?
It is a Porsche 911. I've been in love with this car since I was 9 years old. So yes, I would love to be driving one of those right now. And I'm actually in the market for a new car. The transmission went out on my track truck. So I've got to get something.
Question number two, where's your next road trip?
Right now it is out to the desert to go to the track. Once COVID is over with, my dream road trip would be Germany and Nürburgring. That is on my mind this morning. So obviously I need to go there.
Right on. All right. Very cool. You'll have company when you get there. That's for sure.
Absolutely. I know who I'm going to call up.
Yeah. Question number three, what's the most curious or fascinating thing you've seen in someone else's house or garage?
I would have to say visiting some of my friends out at Thermal. They have some incredible cars in their collection. And probably my favorite is a BMW that I've seen. And I cannot remember which one it is, but it was one of the track BMWs. And it was impressively gorgeous.
Wow.
Oh, and then I have another friend in Rancho Santa Fe. I got to tour his car collection. And he has this incredible collection of Porsches and Ferraris, both. So his was just one of those I wanted to, you know, have dinner catered in and, you know, wine service and just sit there in their garage and just have this fine meal and just look at all these beautiful cars surrounding me because he has about 20 of them. So,
yeah. The last question is always something random and whimsical. The question I want to ask you is, what's your favorite holiday to celebrate?
The 4th of July, because I was supposed to be born on the 4th of July, and I love fireworks, and I just think that's a great day to celebrate.
All right. Very cool. Well, thank you, Loxley. This has been good. I hope you'll stick around for the rest of the show and join us in our normal nonsensical ramblings on this, on this podcast. Speaking of nonsensical ramblings, I'm going to turn the wheel over to Misty. She's got our new segment for the day. Misty, take it away.
In the news.
In the news.
What's been happening the past couple of months? You know, of course, with Formula One, we've got everybody debuting their new livery. Some is really cool and some is really kind of, okay. You know.
What, you're maybe, not feeling too, you're not feeling it on some of the designs?
Some of them, now that I think about it, maybe they should have called Loxley. That might have been a better idea than whoever they called. But
there's
the most,
five that are blue. They're all going to like mix together when you're watching them on the track. They're all the same color.
Yeah. But in top Formula One news, six-time world champion Lewis Hamilton finally signed a new deal with Mercedes.
Oh.
He was holding, I think his holdout was a four-year contract for like $20 million, and Toto Wolff went, no. we'll give you 1 year, which, you know, caught a lot of people by surprise. So that's both Hamilton and Bottas that are only signed through this coming season.
Mm-hmm.
And Toto Wolff has been very explicit that both drivers are going to face challenges to keeping their drive, mainly in the form of Esteban Ocon and George Russell, who's my current favorite. Oh, he's so cute. I just love him. If you ask me personally,
you just like the pictures of him with no shirt on.
Yeah. Well, actually, you know, George is a little young for me, so it's kind of more like, you know, he's, you know, like, I'm like, oh, you're like my kid.
Oh, Ben and I just let you guys do this one, and we'll come back when you're done. Is that what's going to
happen? Yeah, that's, you know, just go take a bathroom break or something, and we'll be
hey,
fine.
Hey, I appreciate his shirtless pictures.
I'm not saying it. I don't. I'm just saying, you know, with personally having a 21-year-old son at home, it's kind of weird.
You have a 21-year-old?
Yeah.
Seriously? Yep. Like, I thought you were in your 30s or something. Come on.
Loxley is now my new best friend. I don't know who you two are. I graduated high school before the turn of the century. That's about
I'm there with you on that one too. That. But I've never said it like that.
You know, if you were to ask me in Mercedes, I would prefer Alex Albon because I think he's, you know, but on the other hand, I understand where Toto Wolff is coming from. Mercedes can't afford to have two super young drivers. It's just not going to happen. Speaking of drivers,
I would like to see them mix it up next year, though.
Oh, yeah.
I think you could put any of those drivers in a Mercedes car and they would do better than they're doing in their present cars.
Well, you saw how George Russell did when he subbed for Lewis Hamilton.
Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, if you were to ask me, I would say I want, because I do live in the Netherlands and I'm married to a Dutch guy, I want to see Lewis Hamilton and Max Verstappen in completely identical cars because I don't think Lewis would win that one. That's my personal opinion. I'm not known to be a Lewis Hamilton fan. But more than my distaste for Lewis Hamilton, my least favorite F1 driver, Romain Bleeping Grosjean, was let go from Haas, which is the only US-based Formula One team, and is moving to IndyCar. He will be racing for Dale Coyne. And I read last week, you know, he actually admitted to being a bit of a jerk. But now he wants to be friendly with his teammate at Dale Coyne. And I'm like, okay, whatever, who cares? You're out of Formula One. That makes me happy. And I'm sure my neighbors will certainly appreciate me not screaming profanities surrounding your name at 6 o'clock in the morning during the Japan race. His former teammate, Kevin Magnussen, just completed 24 hours of Daytona for Chip Ganassi Cadillac and has signed with Peugeot, who is re-entering Le Mans in 2022 for their new hypercar category.
Interesting.
And I've heard rumors that Ferrari may be entering the hypercar as well.
Yes, they are.
So, and we'll talk more about Ferrari a little on further down. Four-time world champion Sebastian Vettel just put up 8 of his supercars for sale.
Okay.
Is he hurting?
Nobody really knows. He's not saying, but one of the ones he put up for sale is a 2004 Ferrari Enzo that has less than 1,200 miles on it. Price upon request. He's also selling a 2002 BMW Z28, which he bought as a U.S. import. He had it respec'd to Euro-style electronics. Has 13,500 miles on it, and it's only about $200,000. If my husband really loved me, I'm getting the feeling my husband doesn't love me. Yeah. Speaking of U.S. cars, Ford, which is my least favorite car brand ever.
Oh, God. We're just going to piss off everybody today.
I am. Ford is recalling over 1,600 of its new 2021 Ford Broncos due to either loose rear suspension modules or missing bolts. I highly advise anyone to check the NHTSA recall website to see if your Bronco is effective. And then for the love of peanut butter, go buy a real car. I'm serious.
Misty, what's a real car? What's the alternative to a new Bronco?
Well, you know, that's actually next on my list.
Okay.
Speaking of real cars, Chevrolet is going to be releasing the Corvette Z06 as a 2022 model at the end of this year. With a naturally aspirated DOHC 32-valve 5.5-liter V8 and a flat-plane crank, just like a Ferrari V8. It's going to rev between 85 and 9,000 RPM, 600-plus horsepower, and it's supposed to sound like a Ferrari.
Brutal.
Starting price estimated to be... Starting price now. Starting price. $85,000.
Are you serious?
Yep.
Oh, my God. That's fantastic.
You need to go look at the pictures of that. I had a moment. I had to go lay down.
If we can turn the thing about cars into a television production, there's a small prayer that one of us might be able to afford such a thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Exactly.
And the last thing on my... Yeah. We should really try to figure that out. The last thing on my list, and this is probably the most depressing. I said we were going to circle back to Ferrari, and I did have to go lay down after reading this one. Ferrari is jumping the shark and will be producing an SUV.
Ooh.
The Ferrari Puro Sangue, which means thoroughbred in Italian. I'm not buying it. It's supposed to have a turbocharged V8 hybrid assistance, horsepower in the range of 650, starting price, $350,000. I'd rather buy two apartments in Spain or just a super glam penthouse on the beach. Apparently, you know, and I'm pretty sure that Sergio Marchionne is spinning in his grave, considering his opinion when asked about Ferrari producing an SUV was, you would have to shoot me first. And sir, I am right there with you.
But I have to ask, I mean, we've talked about other luxury car brands and we've certainly made fun of, you know, like Jaguar has their SUV, Porsche has an SUV. Who else makes a luxury?
Maserati has
Maserati.
One.
Bentley.
Lambo has one. I did actually, we were on, I don't even remember where we were going. Maybe we were going to Spain or Italy, you know, whatever Europeans do. And we passed, I think it was the Maserati SUV. And I made a point to point and laugh. and made sure the driver saw me because I'm like, what is the point? You know, I mean, it's.
I can buy more SUV for less money. Yeah, is elsewhere, right? It's just that's the kind of thing, right?
So yeah, well, I mean, when I did laugh and point, I was literally sitting in the Mazda CX-5, which is the SUV. You know, it's a great, you know, it's a little on the upper range, but it's absolutely fabulous. You know, I mean, it's super comfortable. I can put, you know, lots and lots of people in there, and you know, lots and lots of luggage for, you know, so. But if I'm going to,
and it doesn't cost $500,000.
See, there's that. I mean, if I'm going to drop $350,000, it needs to fit like me and one other person. And I need to be able to top 200 kilometers an hour on the Autobahn.
And it needs to massage me while I'm doing it. And it needs to file my taxes for me.
Well, actually, you know, I'm kind of like, it can just sit there and look pretty. You know, it's, well, and it's the kind of thing too, that if I'm in the driver's seat, I want every man driving a Volkswagen Golf that I pull up next to feel 100% emasculated. I mean, that is literally where I'm at. I mean, I didn't drive my car for like three or four weeks.
This is why Misty is on the panel with us. This is.
No, absolutely.
You got to have one. Well, I mean, I drove my husband's car for like, you know, like a month because I was having to get up like really early and take my son to his internship. And being the good child he is, he repaid mama in Starbucks. But so I actually had to get the batteries changed in our key fobs. So I was like, what the hey, I'll just run out to Hoofddorp and, I forgot how aggressive men get when they see a woman in that MX-5. So, and I was just like, okay, whatever.
Yeah.
So, but there's the news and,
good stuff, Misty. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Yeah. I'm going to have to sit on that emasculated thing later because that was kind of shocking. I'm going to have bad dreams now.
Well, you know, all I'm going to say is don't try to beat a Raven County girl that, you know, has 30 plus years of driving a manual transmission off the line when she's in a Mazda MX-5 and you're driving a Volkswagen Golf.
I love it. That's fantastic. Thank you, Misty, for doing In the News today. Good stuff as always. Let's shift gears and go to Ben. Ben has that new car smell.
Well, that's what that is. Okay.
what do you got, Ben?
Well, nothing really, you know, deeply profound today, but I was just kind of looking at some things that are in the pipeline that are going to be coming to market before too long. And the Rivian electric trucks are supposed to be out this year.
Oh,
later on this year, not only the pickup, which is what everybody's been seeing, but also an SUV, which looks fairly big and chunky in the pictures, although I don't know if it really is, or if they've just put really small people next to it. But it's a handsome vehicle, except for, I think their front end design with the headlights is a little bit of an acquired taste. But other than that, it has nice lines.
Yes.
And they're offering.
What do you think about?
Go ahead.
Yeah. What do you think about the new BMW front end? I know there are a lot of people who hate it, and a lot of people who love it.
We've discussed those a few times here, and they're going through several different iterations. It seems with the shape and size of the kidney grills, and I think most of those are an acquired taste.
Chip Foose did a redesign of the front grill. You know, the one that's like,
yeah,
it resembles, you know, Lexus and everything else out there on the road right now. His redesign is brilliant. It's perfect.
Oh, very cool. Yeah, I have to see that. But yeah, these Rivians have no real grill to speak of, and these two kind of vertical oval sort of headlights, and they, if you see faces in cars, you look at it and go, huh? But they're handsome vehicles, and they look like they're pretty well developed, and so it'll be interesting to see how they are when they arrive. The thing a few minutes ago about Ferrari's SUV doesn't surprise me so much, because they've always been about a certain amount of bombast, but the one from Lotus is coming later this year or early next year. And that one is the one that's, I think, really making people turn in their graves, because Colin Chapman was all about simplify and add lightness, and a vehicle like that does neither one. So I don't know. The BRZ86 platform Toyota and Subaru is going to be new for next year. So there's some spy photos of that bubbling up. Tesla Cybertruck is supposed to be starting delivery this year.
This year.
Yeah.
I still have mixed feelings about the Cybertruck. It's just, part of me is excited that it's out there, and part of me is completely horrified by it all at once, you know?
But, yeah, I mean, it's another acquired taste visually, and how good a truck it will be, I don't know. How good a just plain vehicle it will be, if past Teslas are any indication, it'll be okay.
Right.
But you know, whether or not you'll want to actually do anything utilitarian is the question.
Right.
And I do see that, of course, the starting price will be about $70,000, which we all knew, but I do see something new here that at some point they're going to bring out a single motor version of it that will be closer to 40.
Interesting.
I think Elon Musk is taking his love of Spaceballs way too far with that truck.
It could be.
Yeah.
My personal opinion.
I'm right there with you. And I'm also like, you know, I mean, I love the environment. Don't get me wrong. I like having oxygen to breathe. But at what point do you just kind of almost draw a line under it? You know, keep in mind the last pickup truck I drove was a Dodge Ram 250 with a Cummins diesel inline six.
Yes.
Like, it idles at 5 miles an hour, and it, because I'm 5'1", I have to had to jump to get in it. But I mean, a pickup truck, it's a fucking vehicle. You know, it needs
the real question here is, can it stand up to the abuse of a team of drunken Georgia rednecks up in the mountains? That's not that we want anybody drunk to get into a truck at any time, but
somebody has to load the furniture, you know, and we're not talking necessarily, you know, about the driver, or, you know, you need to load up that picnic table, or
that's right,
that turkey fryer or something, you know, and
and even if those rednecks do kill it, they're going to have a whole lot of fun with that electric torque, you know, until they do.
Until they do. That's exactly right.
Yeah. But I guess the big question, though, is, can it pull, you know, like your grandma's GTO out of the ditch?
That will be the test. That will actually be the test. That's right.
Yeah.
So what else you got, Ben?
Aston Martin Vanquish. I haven't really kept up with Aston Martin so much, but it looks like it's going to re-debut in 2022, but it's a different car this time. Previously, it was a V12 powered front engined GT is not really the right word. I mean, it's luxurious and quick at the same time. It pushed all those grand touring buttons, but damn, it was a really freaking hot V12 car. But this new one is going to be a twin turbo V6 mid-engined hypercar.
I see.
And I'm looking at a picture of it, and it's very different from prior Vanquishes.
it's what I want for my birthday, by the way.
There you go.
Yes.
Let me call the model shop, and I'll have 1 cent to you.
I'll be happy to receive a model of this car. That would also be really cool. So,
so is this like Ford introducing the Mach-E and saying it's a Mustang, and they should have totally named it something else and not said it was a Mustang?
I don't know, but if you're a fan of manual transmissions, this Vanquish may be for you. It's got a dogleg 7-speed.
Yes, and I love Aston Martins. Yeah. I can hear them coming behind me, and I know what it is that's driving up the road. I mean, it's just certain cars. I hear that sound, and I'm like, oh, that's a, or, you know, oh, there goes, yeah.
A few months ago, I had the chance to ride in a 2005 V8 Vantage, and boy, was I disappointed. I didn't get to drive it, but I was in the passenger seat, and it was really cramped inside, for one. And the owner told me that it was all Ford under the skin, but the Aston Martin dealer didn't charge Ford prices to fix it.
I've heard the same thing.
Yeah. Anything else, Ben? Oh, sorry.
That's really all I got on new car smell today. Kind of that low point of the year where we're not quite seeing the big announcements yet, but we know things are coming.
Yep.
I have a question for you.
What's
have
that?
You checked out the new Cadillac Lyriq EV?
Not in detail, but it's on my radar.
We are actually having their chief engineer of the Lyriq project on our Lansing Air Camp.
Cool.
In June.
Awesome.
So, yeah. So she's going to walk the girls through what she does as the engineer to create, because they, from what I've been told, they took the actual designer's image that they had, and the engineering department really didn't deviate from what the designers had created. So we're going to get to talk to both of the teams. And it's a beautiful, beautiful SUV.
Yeah.
Awesome. And Ben, in new cars that we can only press our face up against the glass and pray for, have you read about the new Gordon Murray T50 Niki Lauda?
A little bit, yeah. Not really enough to say anything, but I'm aware of it.
I think the only thing to say is I'll be in my bunk.
All righty then.
I mean, it is literally not street legal, and it actually produces more downforce than it weighs.
Wow.
Oh yeah.
To the point that it could literally go upside down at 100 and some odd bajillion kilometers, because I think it produces like 1500 kilograms of downforce and weighs under 1,000.
Something like that. And I guess there's a little bit of not really new car smell, but something that resembles it in my garage, because this weekend I'm starting to put the new carpet in my old Lotus. And between that and the reupholstered trim panels that I'm going to be making pretty soon, it's going to smell like a new car, even if it isn't one.
Yeah, I saw the Dynamat shots that you had this morning. I think that's pretty encouraging. Can't wait to see the finished product, Ben.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll make a special trip back to the U.S. just to pay your car.
Loxley doesn't know what's in your garage. You may have to inform her.
Okay, it's a 1970 Lotus Elan Plus 2. That's the hardtop, more grand touring version of the Elan. It's a little bit longer and wider, and has the hardtop and something that pretends to be back seats. It's not as valuable in the market or as popular in most cases, because it is not the raw open two-seater, but because it's got the longer, wider wheelbase, a lot of people think it really is the better handler of the two.
I can imagine. Awesome.
Yeah, it's been a total project for the last 5 years.
The only thing Ben hasn't done was to take the body off the frame. Otherwise, he's touched every single square centimeter of that car.
Pretty much, yeah. I mean, the differential still needs to be rebuilt, but that's the only real major operational system I haven't been in yet. And it's going to get a transmission swap probably later this year. It has the original 4-speed in it, but I've got my hands on the 5-speed that came out a model or two years later, model year or two later, that I'm going to be swapping into it.
I'm excited. If that thing were in my garage, I'd be falling asleep underneath it and just waking up to continue working. That's what I would do.
I'm right there with you.
Yeah.
So you'll wake up pretty oily if you sleep under it.
Well, it is British.
Yes. Yeah.
I don't know what I expect.
All right, you guys.
So when do you plan on having it finished? When are we going for a ride?
Well, you know, old car projects are never truly finished, but it is basically roadworthy right now. I've been tooling around, you know, my local area just with, you know, one seat and no carpets in it for a little while now.
Awesome. Yeah.
Excellent stuff, you guys. This is, I think, has been a really good episode. Shall we wrap up with the grand trivia auto question, or rather answer?
Sure.
Let's do it.
For me.
So the grand trivia auto question in 2019, and you guys are going to have to decide whether or not this is some kind of weird trick question, and I may or may not be giving you a hint with that. In 2019, more vehicles were built in China than the United States, Germany, Japan, or all of the above. Let's let our guest, Loxley, take the first guess.
I'm going to say United States.
Okay. Any reason why you might think that?
I have heard this before, but I can't remember exactly. I'm just going to go with the United States.
Okay.
Go Ben? USA.
Ben, what do you think?
My gut says United States, but then one little corner of my gut says all the above. So it's a tough call, but I'll go with the United States.
Right on. United States. We got two for United States. Misty, what do you think?
I'm going to be an outlier. I'm going to say all of the above, knowing that Germany outsources a lot of its production, and so does Japan. And China's just building everything.
Well, here's the answer. The answer, and let's do some math here. Germany in 2019 built 4.66 million vehicles. Japan built 9.6 million vehicles. United States built 10.88 million vehicles, and China built 25.72 million vehicles. So the answer is D, all of the above. Misty wins this one. Loxley, again, thank you for being our guest today. I hope you'll join us behind the mic at some point in the future and tell us more about what Athena Racing is doing.
Absolutely. Yeah. Anytime you guys want me back, just let me know.
You got it. We'll do.
I love to talk. Yeah.
That makes two of us. I love to hear about, about especially women in automotive stuff. You know, I get really mad because everybody talks about Max Verstappen's dad being a Formula One driver, and they completely forget that his mom was a championship carter.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Women in racing have a long history that people are simply unaware of. I was about to ask a series of trivia questions, and I'm ashamed to say I only gotten one out of 10 of them right, related to women in racing in general. But we will cover that topic again another day. In the meantime, thank you to our listener for being part of the Thing About Cars family. If you have a moment, please go to Apple Podcasts or Google Podcasts or wherever you find the show and leave us a rating. That leaves us more searchable by other people who are into this content. And don't forget to check out athenaracing.org to learn more about what Loxley's organization is doing. In the meantime, we hope you and yours are staying safe out there. We'll see you with another episode in about a week. See ya.
Later.
Bye. Thanks. Bye.
Thank you for listening. This has been The Thing About Cars. We'll see you on the road.